Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Member by Avram Goldhar and Tir Maseches Nedarim Daf Pei Tes, the 11th Perek Be'ilin Nedarim. So the three topics we're going to focus on are Mona's Tad Nebraisev, and Almano Grusha says, Harni Nazira Kashinase Venises, I'm here by a Nazira when I marry, and she gets married. Rishmol says the husband can be Mefer, and Rabbi Akiva says he cannot. In the reverse case, where a married woman declares she'll be a Nazira after divorce, and she gets divorced, Rishmol does not allow Hafara, and Rabbi Akiva does. Rabbi Shmuel holds the ability of Bafar depends on the time the netter takes effect, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds it's determined by her status at the time the netter is declared. Our Mishnah taught that when a Naziris is declared to take effect after 30 days and she marries in the interim, the husband cannot revoke it, and he can in the reverse case. The Gemara says this appears to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Abai explains that Rabbi Shmuel can agree with our Mishnah because where Rabbi Shmuel spoke of a case that the netter definitely took effect only after marriage, here the netter could have taken effect before marriage if she would have been married after 30 days, and in such a case, he could agree to follow the time the netter has declared. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Teishin Na'aros Nidran Kayamin. There are 9 Na'aros whose Nadarim stand, meaning they cannot be revoked. They are essentially permutations of 3 types of cases, where she's a Yesoma Bechayaviyah, an orphan in her father's lifetime, meaning she left her father's domain through a previous marriage of Nisuran, or she's an actual orphan, or she's a Bogeris. The Chachamim and Abraisa only list these 3 cases, and the Ran quotes the Yerushalmi, which explains that our Tana divide them into 9 cases to sharpen his students. Yehuda adds that even a minor daughter who's married off with Nisuan leaves her father's domain, and her Nadarim made after her marriage ends would be irrevocable, provided they are made after she is an Ara. And point number 3, the next Mishnah teaches, if a wife says, Konum she'ini nena la'abu la'vicha, im osa ani al-picha, Konum that I will not benefit from my father or your father if I do anything for you, the husband can revoke it. The Ran explains that since both the neder and the condition are either inui nefesh or matters between him and her, he can be made for it, although it has not yet come into effect since the condition has not been fulfilled. The Mishnah teaches that the same applies if she says, Konu that I will not benefit from you if I do anything for my father or yours. Although the condition is neither inui nefesh nor between him and her, the Ran explains that since such a condition will inevitably be fulfilled, he can be made for it now. Abraisa quotes the opposing opinion of Rabbi Nassan that because the netter has not yet and may never come into effect, he cannot be made for it. So once again, the 3 points are number 1. It was taught in Abraisa. If an almana or grusha says, Harini Nazira kishenase venises, I'm here by a Nazira, when I marry and she gets married, Rabbi Shmuel says the husband can be made for, and Rabbi Akiva says he cannot. In the reverse case, where a married woman declares she'll be a Nazira after divorce and she gets divorced, Rabbi Shmuel does not allow Hafara and Rabbi Akiva does. Rabbi Shmuel holds the ability of Bafar depends on the time the netter takes effect, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds it's determined by her status at the time the netter is declared. Our Mishnah taught that when a Naziris is declared to take effect after 30 days and she marries in the interim, the husband cannot revoke it, and he can in the reverse case. The Gemara says this appears to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Abai explains that Rabbi Shmuel can agree with our Mishnah because where Rabbi Shmuel spoke of a case that the netter definitely took effect only after marriage, here the netter could have taken effect before marriage if she would have been married after 30 days, and in such a case, he could agree to follow the time the netter has declared. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Teishin Na'aros Nidran Kayamin. There are 9 Na'aros whose Nadarim stand, meaning they cannot be revoked. They are essentially permutations of 3 types of cases, where she's a Yesoma Bechayaviyah, an orphan in her father's lifetime, meaning she left her father's domain through a previous marriage of Nisuan, or she's an actual orphan, or she's a Bogeris. The Chachamim and Abraisa only list these 3 cases, and the Ran quotes the Yerushalmi, which explains that our Tana divide them into 9 cases to sharpen his students. Yehuda adds that even a minor daughter who's married off with Nisuan leaves her father's domain, and her Nadarim made after her marriage ends would be irrevocable, provided they are made after she is an Ara. And point number 3, the next Mishnah teaches, if a wife says, Konum she'ini nena la'abu la'vicha, im osa ani al-picha, Konum that I will not benefit from my father or your father if I do anything for you, the husband can revoke it. The Ran explains that since both the neder and the condition are either inui nefesh or matters between him and her, he can be made for it, although it has not yet come into effect since the condition has not been fulfilled. The Mishnah teaches that the same applies if she says, Konu that I will not benefit from you if I do anything for my father or yours. Although the condition is neither inui nefesh nor between him and her, the Ran explains that since such a condition will inevitably be fulfilled, he can be made for it now. Abraisa quotes the opposing opinion of Rabbi Nassan that because the netter has not yet and may never come into effect, he cannot be made for it. Alright, so now we go to our Siman Daf Pei Tes, and our standard Siman relates to a pot. We use a chalent pot to make it a little more distinct. So here goes. The wife who burnt the chalent in the pot, who declared she'll be a Nazira after divorce, served it to 9 na'aros, whose nadarim stand, and told her upset husband, Konam, that I will not benefit from my father or your father if I do anything for you. Once again, it's a motion. The wife who burnt the chalent in the pot, chalent in a pot, that must be run off pay test, chalent pot. The wife who burnt the chalent in the pot, who declared that she'll be a Nazira after divorce, which reminds us that was taught in Brayse, if an Almana or Grusha say that I'm hereby a Nazira when I marry, and she gets married, where Shmuel says the husband can be Mefer, and Rabbi Akiva says he cannot, in the reverse case, where a married woman declares she'll be a Nazira after divorce, and she gets divorced, Rabbi Shmuel does not allow Hafar, and Rabbi Akiva does. Rabbi Shmuel holds the ability of Hafar depends on the time the Neder takes effect, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds it's determined by her status at the time the Neder is declared. So the wife who burnt the chalent in the pot, who declared that she'll be a Nazira after divorce, served it to 9 na'aros, whose nadarim stand, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Teishin na'aros nidren kayamin, there are 9 na'aros, whose nadarim stand, meaning they cannot be revoked. They are essentially permutations of 3 types of cases, where she's a Yasoma b'chayavya, an orphan in her father's lifetime, meaning she left her father's domain through a previous marriage of Nisuan, or she's an actual orphan, or she's a Bulgaris. So, the wife who burnt the chalent in the pot, who declared that she'll be a Nazira after divorce, served it to 9 na'aros, whose nadarim stand, and told her upset husband, Konam, that I will not benefit from my father or your father if I do anything for you. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches, if a wife says, Konam she'eni nena la'abo la'vicho im osa ani alpicho, Konam, that I will not benefit from my father or your father if I do anything for you, the husband can revoke it. The Ran explains that since both the neder and the condition are either inui nefesh, or matters between him and her, he can be mefred, although it has not yet come into effect, since the condition has not been fulfilled. So once again, the wife who burnt the chalent in the pot, who declared that she'll be a Nazira after divorce, served it to 9 na'aros, whose nadarim stand, and told her upset husband, Konam, that I will not benefit from my father or your father if I do anything for you. All right, so now it's time for 4 blah blah chazara. Daf pehe, so the simmer daf pehe is a dentist because it relates to a mouth. So here goes. When the dentist, that must mean we're in daf pehe, mouth, dentist. When the dentist forbade benefit to all kohanim, so they wouldn't become his patients, didn't realize he'd given up his tobos hana'a of his truma, as it was rendered like dust, which reminds us. The mission says when one prohibits kohanim or levim, they may take his truma and maisa. This indicates that tobos hana'a in a mammon, the benefit of pleasure is not in equity, meaning the fact that he can choose whom to give the trumas and maisers to and accept payment to do so is not considered a monetary ownership of the truma and maiser. Therefore, the kohanim and levim are not receiving something of his. Rava says that our Mishnah holds that tobos hana'a is a monetary ownership, which explains a later case in the Mishnah. The reason for this case is that since truma is only fit for kohanim, then by attempting to prohibit it to all kohanim, shavya afra ba'alma, he has rendered it mere dust to himself. Since it's impossible for him to give it to any kohen, he has forfeited those monetary rights and rendered it like hefker. So, when the dentist forbade benefit to all kohanim, so they wouldn't become his patients, didn't realize he had given up his tobos hana'a, his truma, as it was rendered like dust, his wife, who worked as his hygienist, got upset and declared, Konam, I will not work for your mouth. Which reminds us, if a wife says to her husband, She'eni osa al picho, Konam, then I will not work for your mouth, the Tana Kama says, no hafar is necessary, because since she's obligated to work for him, the neder is ineffective. Rabbi Akiva says, Yafir shemet tadif olav yosim in aruiglo, he should revoke it, for perhaps she'll produce more than is due, and the excess, which belongs to her, would become forbidden to him. The Tanakhama holds that even the excess belongs to him and remains permitted. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, Yafir shema yigarshen eti hasur lav, he should revoke it, for perhaps he'll divorce her and then she'll become forbidden to him. So, when the dentist forbade benefit to all kohanim, so they wouldn't become his patients, didn't realize he had given up his tobos hana'a of his truma, as it was rendered like dust, his wife, who worked as his hygienist, got upset and declared, Konam, I will not work for your mouth, and my hand should be consecrated to their maker. Which reminds us, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua explained our mission as a case, where a wife says, Yikachu yadai lo oseh, and my hand should be consecrated to their maker, or in our case, Konam, the yadaim ha'isna hu ba'olam, because her hands exist in the world and are subject to hektish. The Gemara clarifies that since her hands are obligated to her husband, she must have added, when I become divorced. Daf pei vav, so the simur daf pei vav is police. So here goes. The husband who watched the nadarim police, that must have been learned daf pei vav, police. The husband who watched the nadarim police put handcuffs on the hands of his wife, who forbid them to him after he was makdish, his pledged field, and then redeemed it, which reminds us. The Gemara said that a woman can make a neder to forbid her hands to her husband for after her divorce. Her hands, although obligated to her husband, are in existence and such a neder can be set to take effect in the future. The Gemara attempts to compare this case to a pledged field where the lender may take its fruits, where the borrower declares it should be hekdesh and then he redeems it, which is effective. This comparison is rejected because it's within the power of the borrower to redeem it as opposed to the woman who cannot divorce herself. So the husband who watched the Nedarim police put handcuffs on the hands of his wife, who forbid them to him after he was makdish, his pledged field, and then redeemed it, got so confused when she broke out from the cuff, saying that a konim is like hekdesh and is mafkia the shibud, which reminds us. Rav Ashi finally answers that a konim is able to take effect on her hands even while they are obligated to her husband. Konim, which cannot become permitted through redemption, is similar to a hekdesh of kedushas haguf, physical sanctity about which Rava taught, hekdesh chametz v'shichrur, mafkin midei shibud, hekdesh chametz and freeing a slave release property from a lien. For example, if one designated his ox to be collected for a loan and subsequently declared it a carbon, the hekdesh removes the lien from the ox and the loan must be collected from elsewhere. So the husband who watched the Nedarim police put handcuffs on the hands of his wife, who forbid them to him after he was makdish his pledged field, and then redeemed it, got so confused when she broke out from the cuff saying that a konim is like hekdesh and is mafkia the shibud, that he mixed up his wife's neder on grapes for his daughter's neder on figs. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nadri ishtva savrisha nadri bito, of his wife vowed, and he thought that his daughter vowed, or the reverse, or she vowed from figs, and he thought she vowed from grapes, or the reverse. Harzi yaksu v'yafir, his hafar is invalid, and he must revoke it again, since the hafar was made under incorrect information, either about who made the neder or what the neder was about. Daf pei zayin, so the Zimmer daf pei zayin is a golden pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden pez candy dispenser. Golden pez candy dispenser? That must be more in daf pei zayin. Golden pez candy dispenser. The husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden pez candy dispenser, which reminds us, our Mishnah, which taught that hafar for the wrong person is invalid, holds that the pasuk using the term yani osa, he who shall restrain her, is meant specifically that he must know her identity. This seems to contradict a brisa which teaches that if one is told that his father died and he tore kriya, and then discovered that it was actually his son who died, the kriya is valid, despite there being similarly specific terms in the pasuk describing David's kriya over Shaul and Yonasan. The Gemara answers the brisa of kriya should be interpreted that he was not told which of his relatives had died. He assumed it was his father, but wasn't certain. Such an unspecific kriya can be valid for the true deceased relative. Our Mishnah speaking where he was clearly told the wrong identity of the vower, and his hafar was made accordingly for the wrong person. So the husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden pez candy dispenser, but was informed, toch kedei dibur, that in fact it was his wife, which reminds the Gemara brings a ruling that all statements can be retracted within toch kedei dibur, with four exceptions. Blasphemy, idol worship, both of which incur the death penalty even if he immediately retracts his blasphemous or idolatrous declaration, and marriage and divorce, which are effective even if he retracts immediately after performing them. The Ron explains that the seriousness of these activities dictates that a person would not do them without a complete and unconditional intent. So the husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden pez candy dispenser, but was informed, toch kedei dibur, that in fact it was his wife, whose neder he tried to partially revoke, which prohibited her to both fig and grape pez candies. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a three-way machlokas whether a partial hakama confirms the entire neder, and if a partial hafara revokes the entire neder. Daf peches, so the simmer daf peches is a garbage can, or trash bin. So here goes. The terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can, that must be more in daf peches, pach. Garbage can or trash bin. The terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane, which reminds us, the Gemara contrasts a machlokas about partial knowledge regarding hafara with a machlokas about a blind person's inadvertent killing when going into a forest. So, the terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane, because he was being chased by his son-in-law who was upset that he gave his daughter a gift on the condition that her husband, who was also to him, have no rights in it. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what a father must do in order to give property to his daughter such that her husband, who he was mutar hanaf from, will not acquire it. So the terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane because he was being chased by his son-in-law who was upset that he gave his daughter a gift on the condition that her husband, who was also to him, have no rights in it, ran to hide in his daughter's courtyard, which she owned independent of her husband, which required her to acquire a portion of the wine for Shetufi Mavos, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a case where a wife herself owns a courtyard independent of her husband. Demigu de Zachil Navsha Zachil Acharini. Since she must acquire a portion of the wine for the Shetufi Mavos for herself to be effective, she can also acquire it on behalf of the other residents. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which step do we have three different opinions in a case where a wife says to her husband, Konim, I will not work for your mouth. That's on Daf. Pehe. Good. Number two, which step do we compare a wife forbidding her hands to her husband to one who has makdish his pledged field and then redeemed it? That's on Daf. Pevav. Good. Number three, which step do we go if a wife says, Konim, that I will not benefit from my father or your father if I do anything for you, the husband can revoke it? That's on Daf. Pay test. Good. Number four, which have they discuss what a father must do in order to give property to his daughter such that her husband, who the father was mutar hanav from, will not acquire it? That's on Daf. Pay test. Good. Number five, which daf we have a three-way machlokas, whether a partial kama confirms the entire neder, and if a partial hafara revokes the entire neder? That's on Daf. Pay zayin. Good. Number six, which daf does the Gemara contrast the machlokas about partial knowledge regarding hafara with machlokas about a blind person's inadvertent killing when going into a forest? That's on Daf. Peches. Good. Number seven, which daf do we have machlokas if hafara depends on the domain of the time of neder or its taking effect, such as a wife saying she will be a nazira after divorce? That's on Daf. Pay test. Good. Number eight, which daf does Gemara seek to resolve the difference between the din when one does hafara for the wrong person and one does kriya on the wrong person? That's on Daf. Pay zayin. Good. Number nine, which daf do we have machlokas tanaim if maaser ani of demai requires verbal designation? That's on Daf. Pay dot. Good. And number 10, which daf do we have nine cases where a girl's nether cannot be revoked? That's on Daf. Pay test. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zirchu wishing you a great day and great learning.